This week's stop is Mem Tesmet Aleph and Erevin, but we are going to go back about three lines back to Mem Ches Amud Beis, just to catch the sugya where it starts from, so that it makes sense when we do this. The Gemara before brought down a machlekes between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan in a situation where you have three chatzeros that are lined up one next to the other. So you have two, what I consider two outside ones, and then a middle one. And the case is that each one of the outside chatzeros made a kinyan chotzer with, or a kinyan mavois, if it's three mavois, whatever the case is, that they made each one individually of the outside ones made a kinyan with the middle one. But the two outside ones, the one all the way to the left and one all the way to the right, did not make a kinyan with one another. And then the question is, the machlekes is about whether or not the middle one is going to be permitted to either use the outside chatzeres at all, or if anybody's allowed to use that kind of erev. So let's start from approximately three lines or four lines from the bottom of Mem Ches Amud Beis. It says like this: Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Zu Divrei Reb Shimon. This idea that the outside chatzeres are allowed to go in and use the middle chatzer is all according to Reb Shimon Shita. But the Chachamim say that only one Rishus is allowed to use two Rishuyos, meaning one Rishus is allowed to have an Eruv with a second Rishus, and therefore be allowed to use a second Rishus. But you can't have one Rishus being used as two separate Rishuyos, meaning, like we explained last week, that the Rishus in the middle now is being split, and the single Rishus in the middle is being used for two separate Rishuyos. That was never permitted. So therefore, according to the Rabbanon, it's going to be usher for all of them. The whole Eruv concept in that situation does not work. So the Gemara now says, Ki Amrisa Kamei de Shmuel, when they repeated this halacha to Shmuel, Omar Li, he said the following, Af Zu Divrei Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon also agrees to this. Abel Chachamim Oimrim, but the Chachamim say Shloshin Asurit. So according to the Chachamim, that's simple. The Chachamim say that all three are going to be Asur. But Reb Shimon, he says, also Reb Shimon agrees that. Now, that's two girsoyas, so two ways to explain this according to Rashi. One pshat in Rashi, the first pshat is that this is also mutter, meaning even the middle guy is going to be allowed to use the two outside guys. He's going to be permitted to use Reuven on his left and Levi on his right. He's going to be allowed to use all of them. That's the first pshat in Rashi. Rashi doesn't like that pshat. Rather, Rashi says even Reb Shimon would agree, like the Chachamim, that the middle guy is usser. That the two outside guys, Reb Shimon says, are allowed to use the middle chatzer. However, the middle chatzer also would agree, Reb Shimon would also agree that middle chatzer is usher to use the two rishuyas on the outside. Meaning, just to illustrate the point is, if let's say the middle guy, I'm calling Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Shimon is the middle guy. So if Shimon has a pot that he has food in, he may not take that pot and move it into either Reuven or Levi's Rishus, because he is usher to the outside guys. However, if, for example, Levi would have some food that started in his house, he would be permitted to use the middle chotzer and bring the food to the middle chotzer. That's how Shmuel wants to explain Reb Shimon Shita. In other words, that Reb Shimon holds that the middle guy is, in fact, usher like the Rabbanim. The Gemara now says, Tanya Kabosa de Reb Yehuda, Aliba de Shmuel. We're going to bring a brisa according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that according to Shmuel, that it's mutter. Amar Reb Shimon, Lama Adavar Doima, L'shloisha Chatzeres HaPsucha Zulazu. So like, you have three Chatzeres that are each open to one another. U'Psucha is the Rishus HaRabim, they are independently open to the Rishus HaRabim. Irbu Shtayim Emem Tzoyis. So if the outside ones, this is what our Mishnah said, if the outside ones are made an Erev, each one individually, separately, with the middle one, the one who was on the outside is allowed to bring stuff from his house into the middle rishos and he can eat it there. And again, the other outside guy on the other side is able to bring stuff from his, what started originally on Erev Shabbos in his house, is able to bring it to the middle chatzer. And here's where Rashi learns the diyuk from. Zumachzeres Maisra L'toich Beisoy. The one that started all the way on the outside is allowed to bring his leftover food back into his house. And the one who brought it from the other side, also he brought it into the middle Rishos, he's also allowed to bring his remaining and leftover food back into his house. So Rashi's Medayik, that what it means is to say, the emphasis is very clear that what he's only allowing is that I can bring back the food that I originally had in the outside Rishos. But it never permitted the food that started in the middle Rishos to be brought to the outside Chatzeris. And that's why that's the proof that, like Rashi's second shot, that the middle guy, in fact, is usher to use the outside, the perimeter Rishuyos. However, each one of the outside Chatzeris is allowed to use the middle Chatzer, and that's the point that the Gemara is trying to make. And continuing, the Gemara says, this is the Braisa says, Shloshan Asurois, that all three of them are going to be usher. So that's the simple machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Chacham. The Chacham, since they say that the middle one is not allowed to make two separate chatzeros, two separate erivin, so they're all going to be also. And Reb Shimon says, no, the outside ones, each one independently, individually, is allowed to make an eriv with the middle one, but the middle one is going to be stuck, and he's not going to be allowed to use either one of them because he can't have two erivin. Then the Gemara continues and says, V'ot Shmuel l'taymei. And this goes according to Reb Shimon. This Shmuel also follows this Shita, that one that he also agrees to the Rabban on that one, the middle Rishos is not allowed to use two separate Rishuyas. Why? Da'amar Shmuel, Chatzar Sheben, Shneim Mavois, if you have one Chatzar, very interesting case, you have one Chatzar that happens to open up into two separate Mavois, meaning this house, you have a house situated in between two alleyways, and he has a door on either side, one door goes to one alleyway, and the other door goes to another alleyway, and the alleyways are a Mavoi for a set of other Chatzaris. So, if his house is in the middle of two mavois, and he's open to both of them, irvu im shnehem, if he made an erv with both of them, asura im shnehem, then he remains asur with both of them because he can't have two chatzeris, which is the point that the Gemara is trying to make. He cannot have, this is Shmuel Ashitasai, that you can't have one chatzer that's being used, that's being pulled in two separate directions. So that itself makes him asur. The next line is also kind of obvious. Lo yirvu im shnehem, if he didn't make an erv with either of them, Asuri sal shneim, then of course he's asur in both of them because he's not part, he didn't make a shutuf mevois with either of them. And Rashi points out that therefore both of those rishuyos also are going to be asur because now they have a house or a chatzar that is open to the mavo that wasn't mitzdarif with them into their eruv. So those mevois also become asur. That's a derech agav that Rashi points out. Now, a very interesting situation. Let's say, yes, he has a door that opens up into two different alleyways. However, with one alleyway, he has more of a relationship. It's more practical for him, and he uses it on a regular basis. It's normal, it's typical. He's accustomed to using one of those mavois. And in one of them, he doesn't really use on a regular basis. So, and he didn't go ahead and make an eruv. The one that he commonly uses, that becomes Asr. Why? Because the Svara is that he should have made an Erev with them, and he's really part of that Chatzar. And therefore, he missed an opportunity to make an Erev. He Asrs that Mavoy, and they all become Asr. However, the Chiddush is the next line. However, the one that he doesn't usually use on a regular basis, Mutter, that's going to be Mutter, because he's not really part of that. As far as he's concerned, he's really separate and apart from that Mavoy, and therefore he's not going to be part of their, it's not expected that he should be Mishtatef with them, and he can just close off his Rishos to them, and they are now independent and separate from him, and they're going to be Mutter. So that's a Chiddush that we allow him to keep separate from the chatzer or the mavli that he doesn't usually use. That is the way Shmuel learns. Omer Rabba Barav Huna, irvu im she'enu regilaboy. Now what happens if, so we just set up that he has one mavli that he is accustomed to using, it's an easy one, you know, that it goes out to a place that he likes to use, and one that he doesn't usually use. Now what happens if this guy went ahead and he purposely, or specifically for this Shabbos, he went ahead and he joined, for Shabbos purposes, the Erev with the Mavoi that he doesn't usually use. So what's the halacha? So Amir Rabbi Barakuna, Irvuim She'ena Regilaboy. Let's say he does go ahead and he does make a proper Erev with the Mavoi that he usually does not use. So what's the halacha? Huta Regila La'atzmai. So then, the one that he usually uses becomes Mutter. And that's a very big Chiddush, because what happens is, because he went ahead and he joined up with the other chatzer, even though normally during the week, let's say, he doesn't usually use the other chatzer, he made a statement that now Rashi explains, he joined that side and he cut himself off from the mavoi that he's used to using, and that itself allows the mavoi that he usually uses to be separated from his house and his chatzer, and it makes them independent and they don't need him. to join in order to make their mavoi mutter, and that's going to be mutter. That's a very big chiddush. But Omar Rabba Barapuna, Omar Shmuel, im irvu regilu la'atzmai. Let's say the one that he usually uses went ahead and made an irv by themselves without him. V'zeh she'ena regilu lo irv. And the mavoi that he usually does not use didn't go ahead and make an erev. Meaning, there's one mavoi that is mutter, or almost mutter, because they made an erev, and one mavoi that didn't bother to make an erev at all, so they're anyway usser. The he atzma lo irva, and he, in other words, this the guy who owns the house in the middle, didn't join either one of them. However, one of them at least made an attempt to be mutter, and one of them didn't make an attempt that's mutter. And it turns out that even the chiddush is that even the one that he usually joins made an attempt to be mutter. They need him, really. However, the chiddush of the Gemara is, doichin oisa, we push this chatzar, etzel she'enu rigilo boy. We make him as if he joined the one that he's not used to using. Again, this is all set up based on the Gemara we just said before, that since he has the possibility and the opportunity to join another chatzar if he wants to, if he, remember we just said before, that if he in fact went ahead and he joined an Erev with, or Mavoy, Shituf Mavoyis, with a Chatzar that he's not used to using, it's a possibility to do that, and he can cut himself off and separate himself off even from the Mavoy that he usually uses. So here we're going to do that independently, and we're going to set that up for him as if he tried to do that. Why? Because at least this way the Mavoy that tried to set up an Erev will be Mutter. And that's a very big chiddush. We allow that mavoi to be mutter and separated from him, and he'll be as if he joined up the other chatzar that did, the other mavoi that didn't have an erev, and they're usser anyway. So you might as well push him off and make everybody, the ones that are usser anyway, usser, and the ones that are mutter this way could be mutter. Why? What's the svara to this? So Gemara says, "Gogoyim ze koifin almidas sodaim." That is because this is considered midas sodaim, meaning if we would make him usser, if we would usser him on the ones that want to be mutter, even though he doesn't gain anything from it, and there's anyway someplace else that would be usser anyway, it makes much more sense to put him together with the ones that don't that he's not hurting, and keep him away from the people that he is hurting. That's the, and Rashi says something very interesting. Midas Sodaim is shali shali, meaning whatever I want is mine, I can keep mine. I have a right to join up the chatzar that I'm ragil by if I want to, but what do I accomplish with that? All I accomplish is making them usser. And anyway, I have another alternative way to explain it in a way that makes them mutter, so I might as well make them mutter. And the chotzer that made their own Erev is mutter without him. And the chotzer that didn't make an Erev, he becomes as if he's joined them in their non-Erev, and they become usser anyway. So he's not ossering them. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. New concept. Now we understand the idea of an Erev is that you want to join up with the other people. What if, hamakbid alai ruvai? The idea is, Shmuel's halacha is, that usually what we do is we collect some sort of bread or food from everybody together. But, and that's what makes us all one. However, this one individual, he puts his loaf of bread in there, and he says, nobody touch it. It's mine, I don't want anybody else using it. And so it kind of goes contrary to the concept of what an Erev is, where we're all joining together. So therefore, Shmuel says, Ein Eruvei Erev. That's not a kosher Erev. If I said no one else in this chatzar can touch it, that's not a good Erev. My Shemai, Erev Shemai, because the idea is that it's supposed to join everybody together, and you're going contrary to that, so therefore it doesn't work. Rav Chanina Amar Eruvei Erev. Reb Chanina says, even if he doesn't want them to touch it, lamaisa, it is an Erev. Elishanikra me'anshe vardino. Except he's called a stingy guy who doesn't want anybody to touch his things, because the concept of the Erev is that we should be joined together. And we are joined together. So once we're joined together, it's going to be, you took the steps necessary to make an Erev. I made an Erev. Even though I didn't, I don't allow anybody to actually eat it. So it's a machloikis, Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina, whether or not it's going to be a good Erev. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So based on that, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Hachoylik es Eruvai, let's say he takes an Erev, he has 5 loaves of bread, and he separates them out, and he takes 3 in one bucket and 2 in the other bucket, Ein Eruvai, Ein Eruv. Now, he also made it not an Erev. He went ahead and physically separated the Erev into 2 separate buckets. So that's not a good Erev either, because the idea of an Erev, again, is to join everybody together. So, come on. But who does this follow? We mentioned this once before. Kebei Shammai. This follows Bei Shammai Shita as opposed to Bei Sil. Tanya, we learned it right. So, Chamisha Shagavu is a Ruvon. Let's say 5 people collected their Erev together. V'nasnu v'shnei Kelev, and they put it into 2 separate Kelev as opposed to 1. Bei Shammai Yomrim, ain't a Erev. It's not an Erev, because it has to all be together in one spot. Bei Sil Yomrim, but Bei Sil would say, Hereza Erev. So the problem is, according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that says it's not an Erev, he'd be following Beis Shammai Shita instead of Beis Hillel's. So the Gemara says, no, in this case, even Beis Hillel would agree. Even Beis Hillel would agree in this case, that it's no good. So Ad Kam Loi Kamer Beis Hillel Hossam. Where did Beis Hillel say that it is a good Eriv? Ela Demalyan the Mono, that you filled up, let's say your bucket really was only big enough to hold four rolls, the Yaiter, and you had extra, so you had one extra, so you have nowhere to put it, so you had to put it into a second bucket. So Beis Hillel says the fact that it's not literally in one bucket does, or one basket, doesn't make it a problem. And that's why Beis Hillel said it's mutter. Aval hecha de palge miflag loy. But if I went ahead and I took something that could have very easily been in one basket or bucket and I separated it out, now I split it, splitting it is going to be a problem, and that's why even Beis Hillel would agree in that case it's not a good Eriv. But if that's really the svara is that you're breaking the Eriv, and the concept of the Eriv is supposed to be one, v'tarti lamali, so then if so, why do I need to say, why does Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel have to say two halachas which are essentially saying the same thing? So Gemara says, tzricha, I need to say both cases. Diyashmin and Hossam, because if I only have said the case where I don't want you to eat from my Eriv, Mishum dekapid, because I purposely say don't touch it. Over here, I'm not makbid who eats it. It just happens to be in a separate bucket. Maybe over there, I'd be okay with it working as an eruv. But if I said over here, where I split it into two buckets, mishum de palge miflag, because I split it, so that's splitting an eruv, that makes it no good. But over there, where I say don't eat it, maybe I don't have a problem because lemaisa it's together. Tzricha to tell us in both of those cases, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says that it's not a kosher eruv. Rabbi Abba le Rabbi Yehuda. The Bei Mitzarto, he told it to him in the warehouses, the Bei Reb Zakkai, the Yeshiva of Reb Zakkai. Mi Omar Shmuel, HaCholek Es Eruvai Eina Eriv. Does he really say that if just because I split the Eriv, I split it into two parts, it's not a good Eriv? V'Omar Shmuel. But Shmuel himself said, this is a very interesting case. Bayis Shemenichin Boy Eruv. If I have the house that they're using, let's say you have five houses, and they decide to store the bread, they decide to store the Eriv inside one person's house. Einitzarech litein es hapas. He doesn't have to contribute the bread. Meaning you go around to all five people, usually, and you have a bucket, and everybody puts a loaf of bread into the bucket. And then they store it in Reuven's house. When they get to Reuven's house, they said, here, you hold on to the bucket. Reuven never bothers to put a loaf of bread in, but he takes the bucket, he takes the basket, and he keeps it in his dining room. So that's okay. He doesn't have to actually literally put a loaf of bread in. My time. But what's the reason that works? Lav mishum. Why? It must be because the Omar, the Kivan, the Monach, Besalo, since it's put into the bread, command the Monach Hachadami, it's as if he puts bread into his own basket, Rashi says. So it's as if he put it into this basket also. So Hachanami, Kivan, the Monach, Besalo, so why don't you say the same thing? Even though you put your loaf of bread into a separate basket, command the Monach Hachadami, why don't you say it's as if you put it into the same basket? So we see from that case that I don't have to literally put it into the same basket. So why do we have a problem? Why does Rabbi Yehuda or Shmuel have a problem with splitting it into two baskets? Amar Lei, so he says, no. Really, he does have a problem with splitting it if you literally split it. Aval Hosam, Afal Pisha Ein Pas, even if I don't have bread, it still works. My time. At the Kula Hocha Dairi. The point is, when I put the Eriv, when I put the basket into somebody's house, the idea is, what we're trying to accomplish is that everybody moves into that house because that's where their food is. So if it's in my house, I'm already in my house. I don't even need to put any bread in it all whatsoever. It's not pshat that I'm taking my bread and I'm purposely putting it into a separate bucket. The idea is that I'm here, and I'm here. I don't have to put bread there to be here. I am here because I am. So therefore, it's already a kasha eruv. However, if I have a loaf of bread and I take that loaf of bread and I put it someplace else, I split it into a separate location, that's a problem because then I'm literally separating it out. But if I'm here physically, I don't have to put in a loaf of bread. Next case. Omar Shmuel. Erev Mishum Kinyan. Oh, my time at the Kula Hachadat, right. Omar Shmuel. Erev Mishum Kinyan. What's the logic behind it? The idea of an Erev is that we're making a Kinyan, meaning we're all being mitzdaref, we're all contributing some sort of, let's say, financial contribution to make us into one. We're all contributing some equity into this Erev, and we're making it, that's what makes it one. So if so, if the idea is that we're actually contributing something, I'm sure you learned this, the concept of, you know, contributing into a partnership and evaluating property and cash and all these different things. So the Gemara wants to know, so why do I have to give bread? Why can't I give cash? Why can't I put a coin into the basket? So the Gemara says, Mipnei she'ena mitzuya v'arve shabos. This is very interesting. Fortunately, we don't have to worry about this. But in those days, it was very possible. You spent your money on buying food for Erev Shabbos. You pasha didn't have money. So it wasn't practical to ask people to contribute money. They didn't have money on Erev Shabbos. It wasn't available. So therefore, we said, you know what? People have food. On Erev Shabbos, people have food. Like if you're familiar with the idea, they used to make chasanas on Friday. Why? Because they used to make the chasana, what? Yeah, the weddings. They used to make a wedding on Friday, and then they used to have the su'uda on Friday night. The su'uda for the chasana would be Friday night. Why? Because everybody was cooking anyway. Everybody had food. And what they used to do is they all used to bring their own food to a central place, and that's where they used to make the chasana. So nobody had to pay any extra money to make the su'uda. That was the Kabbalah, because that's what people had. Friday night, you had a piece of chicken. That's what people had. People don't have extra money floating around. So therefore, the Chazal were misakin that if you want to make an Erev, use something that people have anyway. Don't make them have to come up with something extra. So if that's the logic, so that it's just for the sake of convenience, so the Gemara asks, Hecha de'irev mi'u liknei? So taka, so why not? If Lamaisa, they do have money and they contribute money, why don't we allow that to work? The Gemara answers, Shema, Gzeira, Shema, Yemer, Ma'a, Iker. The problem is that if you do allow them to use money, people are going to misconstrue that and they'll think that, no, the money really is the main thing. However, and then they'll believe to think that that's really what works. V'zimnin de'lo shchiach ma'a. And of course, what's going to happen is you're going to have a situation where people don't have money. V'lo yasalei aruvah b'pas. So they're going to say, okay, I don't have money, so I guess I can't make an Eruv, because they're going to miss out on the point. Also, Eruv lekukule, it's going to come out that then that's going to lose. You're going to forget the purpose, the point of making an Eruv completely. So therefore, we say, you know what? Stick to the basics, and we're going to make that required. We're going to require the Eruv to be made with something that people anyway have. That's the first step. So it's a kinyan. Rabba omer Eruv Misham Dira. No, it's not, it has nothing to do with the Kenyan. It has to do with just practically speaking, they all, by putting the Eruv all in one place, that's where I am. And that's where I live, so we all put it into one place, that works. My Benai, what's the difference? What's going to be the difference between these two Svaras? The Gemara answers, Ikka Benai o Kli, Upachas Mishava Pruta, Vekatan. There are three differences. If I use a Kli, so again, if the idea is to make a Kenyan, a Kli also works. If I'm using it to be a Dira, my Kli doesn't make me there, because I'm not where my kalim are, I am where my food is. The second nafkamina between them is if it's less than a shava pruta. If the idea is to make a kinyan, I can't make a kinyan with something less than a shava pruta. But if the idea is bread, that my bread is worth less than a shava pruta, again, I am where my food is. And thirdly, the nafkamina is if you're using a katan. A katan can't make a kinyan. He's not a bar kinyanim. However, he could, if the idea is to be where I am, even a katan can collect something and put it all together. So therefore, a katan would be able to make the kinyan, would be able to make the eruv. So whether you follow Rabba Shitu, that it's the concept of Dira, or whether you follow the concept of Shmuel, that it's a Kenyan, it's the following Brisa is difficult. Hodetanya, we learned in a Brisa. Chamisha Shagavu es Eruvan. We have five people that collected their Erev together. Kishahim Malichin es Eruvan. So now they decide that these people in this Chatzar decide that they want to all together be Mitzdarif with a different Chatzar. When they bring the chutz, when they bring their Erev, l'makomachar, to something, to a different place, to be mitzarif for someplace else, echad ma'ilich l'kulon, one person can bring it on behalf of everybody. So hu nihu dekakani. So it comes out that it sounds like this person himself made the kinyan, it worked for him. Vesuloi, it should only work for him. He should be the only one who brought the Erev to someplace else. Hu nihu dekadairi vesuloi. And it should only be the guy himself who brought the Erev, should be considered as if he went part of that new chatzah. So how did it work on behalf of all of them? Amalei, lo didi kasha, lo didi shmul kasha. He says it's not difficult with whichever pshat you're learning, because at the end of the day, shlichus tekulu ka'ovid. The guy who carries over the chatzah, the who covers the Erev to the other chatzah, is doing it on behalf of everybody, so it works on behalf of everybody. So either everybody moved into that new location, or everybody contributed their equity. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rabba Halacha de Reb Shimon. We paskin like Reb Shimon, like that we started with earlier today, which is that if the middle guy makes an Erev separately with two different chatzeros, he is now mutter to the with the each one separately. Whether or not he can bring his kalim from the middle to the outside ones, maybe not, but certainly the outside, each one of the chatzeros on either side of him could be mitzdarif with him to bring their kalim into the middle. However, and we don't aser them from altogether like the Rabbanu, who would say everybody is going to be aser. Zek the next Mishnah. Most of this Mishnah we're going to explain next week, but let's go through the beginning at least. Misha Baba Derech. Somebody who was traveling, a very big chiddush. B'choshkoloi, now became dark, and he realized that he's never going to make it all the way home. And he's more than 2,000 amas away from home. So the problem is, v'hoyamakir ilon agedar, and he recognizes that he knows that he's familiar with the territory, and he knows that there's a tree or a fence that is somewhere between him and home, that's within 2,000 amas of where he stands now. It's also within 2,000 amas from his house. So he could use that as his middle point, as his eruv point. So it depends on how he sets it up. For Omar, if he says Shvi Sasi Tachtov, I just want to be under the tree, but he doesn't designate a specific place, Layamar Klum, it doesn't work because he didn't designate a specific place, as we'll see in the Gemara. shvisasi beikaroi. But if he says, I want, not where I'm standing now, but I want to be at the root, at the trunk of that tree. So he sets up a specific place that he wants to be within the range of that tree. Mahalach mimakim raglev, he can walk the 2,000 amas from where he's standing, va'adi karoi, till that place that he set up where he wanted his eruv to be. Alpayim amas, even up to 2,000 amas. Umei karoi, va'ad beisai alpayim amas, and then he can walk from the root, the trunk of this tree, all the way 2,000 amas to his house. Meaning he now made that his makim eruv. Nimsa, comes out, the Mishnah says, Mahalach mechashecha, he walks even after dark, Arba alofim amah, he can walk 4,000 amas, which again, this is very big chiddush, because without this, you would be, say, he can only be 2,000 amas from where he is. But he's able to pick a place that he knows exists, and he makes himself set up over there, that becomes his central location, and the 2,000 amas revolves around that. However, im einin makir, if he doesn't know of a place that he can set himself up, he's not familiar with the route, or he doesn't know that you're allowed to set yourself up further, and he says, okay, so I want to be standing where I am, so where he's standing makes him, that becomes his central point, and he is, and he has 2,000 amas in each direction, and the first Tanakhama says, aguloi, it's a circle around him, divrei Reb Chanina ben Atignas. This is, the Gemara is going to explain this. That it gets squared, ketava, like a plate, like a tray. So you set up 2,000 amas in each direction, and you make it into a square, not into a circle. Meruvois that are squared, and you gain the corners by that, right? Because if it's a circle, you only get 2,000 amas in each direction, whereas if it's a square, you get 2,000 amas to the north and 2,000 to the east, and then you draw a straight line. So your northeast corner is really more than 2,000 amas away, but that's, the Gemara is going to explain as a chiddush. Kadesh and Iskel is obvious, and that's what the Mishnah says, so that you gain the corners. Vizui sha'amru ha'ani, but the idea that you're able to say, I'm kind of my makam where I am right now. Vizui sha'amru ha'ani ma'arid baraglev, that an ani, meaning somebody who doesn't have bread in a different place, is able to be kind of with his feet, that becomes his makam shvisa. Amra meir anu ein lanu ela ani. The Meir says that we only allow this if the person literally doesn't have another house. So he's traveling, so he's allowed to make an Erev this way. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer says, no. Echad ani ve'echad asher. We even allow an asher, meaning somebody who has a regular house, and he's in a different location. He's allowed to set up an Erev in a different location than he is through a shliach. La'omer ma'arvan bepas. The only time we require that you have the bread with you, el lahakul al ha'asher, is to make the usher rich person convenience, shalo yetza v'yare beraglav, he's not required, if he wants to make an Erev in a different place, that he literally go there, but rather we allow him to send bread with a shliach and let the shliach set up the Erev Shabbos someplace else, and he's able to be kind of that way. However, Rav Chanina ben Antignas argues, and says that no, you have to be there yourself, you cannot use bread to be in a different location than you are. This is a concept in general we disagree with. All right, we'll start the Gemara, even though it runs, we're going to have to really deal with this a little bit more next week. My lo yomar klum. So the beginning of the Mishnah said that if you just said, I want to be underneath that tree, and you don't really designate a specific place, as Rashi explains very clearly, the problem is that this tree is very large, even up to 30 amas, 20 or 30 amas wide, so there is more than one 4-square amas that he could have chosen. And he didn't pick a location, so he's basically all over the place. So therefore, the Mishnah says he didn't say anything. So what does that mean, he didn't say anything? So Amarav, Omar Klum Kol Iker. He didn't say anything at all, meaning he is no place. He can't even go to the underneath of that tree. Meaning, what according to Rashi, one shot in Rashi, is basically what he did is he didn't pick a proper place. So the new place that he wanted to be doesn't work because he didn't pick an exact place. And he also lost where he is standing. Because what he essentially says is, I don't want to be here. So if I don't want to be here, I can't claim where my feet are is a new makam shvisa. So according to the Wamshad and Rashi, what you did is you lost complete concept of being in a makam, and you can't even walk out of your dalat amos anymore. Shmuel Omar lo yomar klum lebeisai. What he meant to say is it doesn't work to help to get all the way home, because according to the way the Mishnah set it up, it was 2,000 amas to the tree, and then 2,000 amas from there to your house. So it doesn't work to get home, because that new place, since it wasn't a specific place, didn't become your real makam, but you are where you are. So because it didn't work underneath the tree, at least you are located where you are, and your eruv, your makam, is where you're standing. But at least from where you're standing, because we already established the tree is taka within 2,000 amas upon where you are, so you're able to walk to the tree. Nasa tachtav shal ilon chamar gamal, and so the Gemara says what happens is, according to one pshat and Rashi, it becomes that the tree you really set up in two places. You're not sure where you are, So on the one hand, maybe you are where your feet are, or maybe you are underneath that tree, but we don't know where you are underneath that tree. So between where you're standing, according to one pshat in Rashi, according to, at least between where you are standing to the tree, that becomes like your middle location that for sure you're allowed to go, because maybe you are where you are and you're allowed to go to both the east and the west. But maybe you're really under the tree and you can't go any further to the west because you're stuck. Really, your 2,000 amas is 2,000 amas away from here. On the other hand, you can't go past the tree because maybe you really are where you're standing now and the tree is already 2,000 amas. So you can't go past the tree because maybe the tree isn't where you are and you're over here. So chamar gamal. As the Gemara says, the Gemara uses north and south. So if you start counting to the north, you say, no, maybe I'm in the other location that's further south. And the other way around, if you try to count further from the south, you have to count from the north. So basically, according to this pshat in Rashi, what you're saying is you're stuck between the place, that location you are physically now, and the location underneath the tree. The other pshat in Rashi is that it's not, you don't, the chamar gamal that we're talking about over here, that you're sort of being torn and pulled in two different directions, is not talking about between where your feet are and the tree, but rather underneath the tree itself has two different locations. Rashi sets up the case that the tree is 2,000 amas away from your house, depending on where you set yourself up in the tree. One edge of the tree, as Rashi says, the north side of the tree is within 2,000 amas of your house. However, the south side of your tree is more than 2,000 amas away. So if you set yourself up on the south side of the tree, you can't get home. But if you had properly chosen the north side of the tree, then you'd be able to walk to the north side of the tree and then from there back home. But since we don't know that, we have to assume that there's a possibility that you maybe set yourself up on the south side of the tree and you set yourself up too far away from home and you're not going to be able to walk the additional 2,000 amas all the way to your house. We'll stop here. We'll pick up with this concept next week, Amir Tz Hashem.